Come on, ye chosen saints of God, whose souls are washed in Jesus' blood. Hear what he says, his word is true. My grace sufficient is for you.
Certainly great to have this opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. As Brother Will said, we've been busy since we were here at the last time I was here, which was your communion, and I've been busy every Sunday since then, and certainly miss being able to be here to worship the Lord with you. And certainly glad to have the opportunity to be with you here this morning. I pray the Lord will be with us. Continue in prayer as we stand before you. What I'd like to speak to you about the Lord for a short time is on the joy of the Lord. You know, that word joy is a very small word, and it's very critical and very crucial to every person upon the face of the earth, especially to God's children, because it's important to have joy in your life. You know, me and my wife celebrated 50 years of marriage together this month. Also, that was another big thing in our lives. Our children, planned this big dinner for us. We didn't know anything about it. Surprised us with people that we knew from different places, kinfolk from South Carolina and down in Milledgeville and other places were up, and we experienced a joyful time together. But in order to have 50 years of marriage, for those of you who are married, know that a marriage must be joyful. And in order for a marriage to be joyful, it takes work on both sides of the issue, from the male perspective and from the woman's perspective. So joy is a very crucial and important thing to us as God's children. I've heard it said this about joy, the little word joy, J-O-Y. If you use the letters of the word joy and you put Jesus first, yourself last, and nothing in between, that'll spell joy every time. And if you spend your life in that mode, no doubt about it, you will experience joy. I've also heard it expressed this, if you put yourself last, if you put Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between, that'll spell joy every time. So joy is a definite thing that we should have in our lives. But you know, life from time to time, if we live it, we have times that we're not joyful. I experienced one just recently in the birth of my grandson on February the 15th, and then his passing away on March the 1st. Lived just 15 days. We really had a lot of joy for those 15 days that we had him, but to lose him was certainly not a joyful time. And we mourned the loss of little Matthew Isaac when we lost him. But the joy of the Lord has been restored to my heart when I think of where Matthew Isaac is at. What the scriptures tell me about where he is and how he is experiencing joy in heaven for eternity, which is where little Matthew is at. And so the sorrow that I had in losing him was one thing, but the joy of the Lord was restored to me from what God's Word tells me about where little Matthew is at. And we experience from time to time a number of things in our lives. And I can remember my sister, who was a Primitive Baptist. She was a member of the Camp Creek Primitive Baptist Church down in Milledgeville, Georgia. And one day, on a Monday night, she went out and took her life. And she was the last person you would think that would take her life and commit suicide, because she was a joyous person. But something had occurred in her family that caused her great distress and caused her to become depressed. And she was so depressed over the situation that she had no control over. And I can remember talking to her the last time on a Thursday afternoon before she did this early on a Tuesday morning, taking her own life. But I believe when I talked to her, if I could have said something to return to her the joy of the Lord that she had, and I knew she had that because that was her to experience the joy in the Lord. And if that joy could have been returned to her before she did that, I don't believe it would have ever occurred. That's why joy is important to us. And we want to talk about joy that's restored, and we'll see it in the scriptures. And we want to begin here in the book of Psalms, where it speaks here of a time whenever there was a dedication of the house of David, and it speaks of joy in this psalm that David penned here in the book of Psalms. And we can all experience this. It says in verse 5, "For his anger endureth but for a moment." And what David is talking about here is the anger of the Lord. You say, well, does the Lord get angry? Well, the Lord gets angry at us when we get out of the way. And sometimes he may chastise us when we're out of the way and we're not doing as we should. And that's a natural thing for God, who loves his children. That's a natural thing for us. When our children are not doing as they should, we discipline them and bring them back into the proper order of things. So David here says, sometimes the Lord is angered with us in our doing. But in his anger with us, he says, for his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. You see, God has given us eternal life, and we're his children. And even when he chastises us, he is really loving us. It's God loving us and bringing us back in to the joy of the Lord. So in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. So we may go through times of distress and times of sorrow, but it only lasts for a night, and then joy cometh in the morning. That's what this scripture says. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And moving on down without reading all of this, it says in verse 11, he says, we'll start at 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And we look to the Lord to be our helper and to be with us in our lives as we live here upon this earth. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. In other words, I was mourning, I was sorrowful, I was in distress, but Lord, you've turned my mourning into dancing or into joy. You've caused me to feel joyful at the things the Lord has done for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. And we sing praise to God, and that's what we've done this morning. And as we've met together and sang and made melody in our hearts unto the Lord, singing praise unto the Lord for what he has indeed done for us. Sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. The return of the joy of the Lord, even when we go through times that in which we're distressed and not as we should be. Now turning over to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61, and it talks about returning of the joy to God's children whenever they mourn. And so this is speaking here. The first few verses here of chapter 61 is speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's speaking of the message of Jesus Christ that comes to us and how it ought to bring joy to our hearts. And even when we are mourning because of our sin or for things that come into our life, whenever we are mourning for whatever it is, we should think of the things that the Lord has done for us, and it will bring joy to our hearts. It says in the first verse, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Good tidings is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of how Jesus Christ came, how he died for our sins according to the scriptures, how that he was buried in Joseph's borrowed tomb according to the scriptures, and how that on the third day he arose from the grave according to the scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Comfort those in the joy of the Lord, in the joy of the gospel of what Jesus has done for us. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. What is Zion? Zion is God's kingdom. Zion is God's children wherever they exist. And God has an innumerable host of children. It's more than just what few of us are here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. This county in which we are in this morning is full of God's children everywhere. They're in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they've been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the light of Jesus. Do they all know the truth? Do they all know the truth as we here at Macedonia know the truth? No, they do not. But they are still God's children, and they still rejoice at the message of the Savior that saved them from their sin. To appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. These that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. You see, when God quickens one of His children, it's like the tree, they are like trees of righteousness. Why? Because they've had imputed unto them the righteousness of Jesus Christ within them. They have within them Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, and they are like trees that have been planted by the Lord, the trees of righteousness, because of the righteousness that's within them, that's been implanted within them by the God of glory. Yes, those that mourn in Zion are comforted. They are comforted by the joy that is in the Lord. We see here how it is. That they are indeed joyful at the message of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We'll see here in the book of Jeremiah how there was joy restored to the people at the deliverance of the people, which was indeed Zion. God delivered Israel from captivity, and God delivered them. They were captives and slaves in Egypt, and He delivered them out from that captivity. And that deliverance of the nation Israel out of the captivity that they were in Egypt is a type of what God delivers His elect children out of the darkness of sin, out of sin and degradation that captivated them, and delivers them out of that condition, and will one day carry them to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. It says here in Jeremiah chapter 30, it says, "For thus saith the Lord," in verse 18, "But thus saith the Lord, behold, I bring again the captivity of Jacob, tents, and have mercy upon the dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgivings, and the voice of them that make merry." In other words, they're joyful. They're joyful that they've been delivered by God Himself. They make merry, "and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." You see, God's children, Zion, all that God chose and elected in a covenant of grace, are not just a few of us who are in the Primitive Baptist faith. There's an innumerable host of God's children throughout the world that God has given eternal life to. And they're joyful because God has made them merry. God has given them something within them that causes them, in spite of their sin, when they see the message of the finished and completed work of Jesus Christ for their sins are made to be joyful. They feel the weight and burden of sin, and then they see the application of Jesus Christ who paid their sins for them, and they're made merry because of this. There was joy here at the deliverance of the nation, at the deliverance of God's children in Zion, and we'll all be with Him someday in heaven and immortal glory. And so we see these things that come about us. And one last thing that I want to bring before you in this morning before turning the time over to Brother Will to finish up this morning's preaching. We'll find in the Gospel of John, Jesus was telling His apostles and those that were His children how it was that He would be leaving them, how it was that that He would be crucified, how it was that He would die upon the cross. And they were very distressed and very sad because they were these He was speaking to were so close to Jesus. And they somehow had the idea that He would be there with them and not leave them, but they became sorrowful at the message that Jesus would be leaving them, and so He made a statement to them here in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, telling them that they would be sorrowful, that they would lament at what was about to occur, but even though they would go through this period of sorrow and period of lamentation, they would indeed be restored to joy at the resurrection of Jesus Christ when He returned unto them. Jesus said here in chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, He said, "A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Now when Jesus said that unto them, "A little while and ye shall see me, and then a little while ye shall see me, and again a little while ye shall not see me, and a little while ye shall see me," He confused them with that statement. What does He mean? And then some of His disciples spoke among themselves, "What is this that He saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." I believe what Jesus was saying to them is, "I must be crucified. I must be taken down from the cross. I must be placed in Joseph's new tomb. And when I'm in that tomb, you'll not see me. I'll be gone. During that time, you'll lament and sorrow. But after 3 days, you shall see me again. You'll see me in my resurrected body." And what that resurrection of Jesus shall mean to them will bring great joy unto them. And then they said, "Therefore, what is this that He saith? A little while, we cannot tell what He saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him. And He said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, In other words, they'd weep and they'd lament at Jesus going away for a little while. Ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you know, I used to wonder about that. What does it mean, the world shall rejoice? You know, the world in general, those who were not God's children, they would rejoice at the death of Jesus. They would rejoice at His crucifixion. They would rejoice that Jesus is no longer a conflict to our little religious ceremonies that we have. So the world, those that were not His, they would rejoice at His being gone. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, and your sorrow shall be turned into joy. How is their sorrow here going to be returned to joy? That's the return of joy to the children of God. They were sorrowful that Jesus went through this. They were sorrowful that He was placed, that He died and was placed in a borrowed tomb. But ye shall be experience your sorrow will be turned into joy. And then He compares this to a woman that has a baby. He says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And then He says in verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you. In other words, Jesus is going to be gone, but He's coming back, and they're going to see Him in His resurrected body. Also, from the Word of God, we should experience joy at the message that Jesus is coming back to this earth to claim His bride, to marry Him as the bridegroom, and us as the bride, all of God's children that God the Father gave to Him in a covenant of grace before the world was. That ought to bring joy to our hearts and joy to our souls to think about that glorious day when Jesus leaves the right hand of the throne of God and returns to this earth. He's not coming here to set foot upon the face of this earth to set up a kingdom in Jerusalem. He's already come. He's already been to Jerusalem. He's coming down from heaven. He's going to receive us up into the air, where He's going to take us to heaven and immortal glory to live with Him forever. The return of Jesus, that ought to give us joy at the message that Jesus is coming again to claim every one of us and take us back to live with Him eternally speaking. And here He says, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. When we have that joy within us, when they experienced the joy at the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus' death wasn't going to be the end, that He was going to resurrect. He was going out to as far as to Bethany and ascend up and be received into a cloud and take His right hand at the throne of God, and there rule and reign as He's doing right now in heaven and immortal glory. That's what these people, these millennials, believe. Jesus is coming back. He's going to set up a kingdom in Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. No, He's doing that right now. He's seated there at the right hand of the throne of God, ruling and reigning over His kingdom. People say, well, it says 1,000 years, and it's been 2,000 years since He did that. Well, with the Lord, one day is One day is as a thousand years with the Lord, and we can't know what time means when the Lord is expressing it. It's whenever Jesus comes back to claim His bride. He's ruling and reigning right now in heaven. Yes, joy. Joy is an important subject and an important thing. But when we get distressed and when we're in sorrow, it's great to have the joy of the Lord restored unto us. I certainly thank you for your attention. Please pray for Elder Martin now as he comes to preach to you.
Sing God.